This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And what's been a bit of a roller coaster of a Wednesday? It's been up and down and emails and all over the place. So let's talk about a couple serious things here before we get back to emails and Hunter Biden and other things. So the Trump administration is doing something awesome. Has been doing something awesome. They are slowly but surely cleaning the gunk out of the federal government. The gunk being all the dirty communists who have occupied our federal government in the various branches. It is a slow process. It is not complete. It's very doubtful that they'll be able to complete it in 4 years. But they are trying. One of the great things, I knew it right away when I saw him doing it. When Trump started putting people in charge of federal agencies, he was putting people in charge of federal agencies who had been attacked by that agency. So you're putting in a reformer who has a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to dig in and find out who the bad actors are. You know, Kash Patel's in charge of the FBI. Kash Patel was attacked by the FBI. He's uniquely motivated to dig into it. Now, we'll have to wait and see how he's done. That only time will tell on that. We'll have to wait on that. John Ratcliffe, Tulsi Gabbard. Remember Tulsi Gabbard? She was put on essentially a terrorist watch list, and she was followed when she flew. Now, I realize there are so many scandals and so many outrages that you're probably about fresh out of gas, and so am I. So it's hard to follow along with all these, but you understand how evil it is that Democrats got angry with Tulsi Gabbard and they put her on the terrorist watch list? That is a new level of evil. Trump gets in there, says, "Hey, Tulsi, you're the new director of national intelligence." She has gotten there and she has chosen to dig in and find this corruption. But we should not be under the impression that the job is complete. She sat down with Miranda Devine. Listen to this.
John Brennan and James Clapper, as leaders in the intelligence community, they have their own disciples. They have a lot of their own people that they brought in with them, or that they, mentored in a mirroring of their own image. And many of those people still exist within the intelligence community now. Fundamentally, we are working towards making change, institutional change. And this is a major area of focus for me, institutional change that will undo the infrastructure that people like John Brennan and James Clapper built that allowed these bad actors to thrive and to be promoted into very, very powerful positions within the intelligence community.
All right, now that is kind of what I wanted to focus on for a moment, because I wanted to break this down in simple terms, how this happened. And I've explained it before in different ways, different analogies, but when the communists started worming their way through our federal government, CIA, FBI, military, IRS, all these things, it wasn't just that they started to take positions of power, important positions of power. You know, a Democrat gets elected. Obama did a lot of this. He's immediately going to find the most committed communist who can get through the Senate confirmation process and make that person head of the FBI. You know, that's how Obama operated. But it's not enough. It is not enough to just take that one position. Remember, you are trying, as a communist, you are trying to turn that entire organization into a weapon you can use against your political opponents. Just the job of director isn't enough. There are all kinds of middle management, upper management positions where you need your people in place. So they put into place, this really happened in the military, but it happened in the FBI and otherwise, they really put into place a system where it wasn't just that you had a communist director. You had a communist director in the incentive structure to get promoted did not incentivize taking down bad guys or a great military performance or something like that. It incentivized being a dirty communist. So you didn't have to be a communist to act like a communist in the CIA. You just knew that's what you had to do in order to get that next promotion to the next thing. The communists did not, my point in this is, the communists did not just put their people in places of power in these organizations. They put a promotional system in place to ensure that their people would slowly but surely fill up every single part of the building. It would be like me taking over a company, iHeartRadio, and I decide I only want people who are committed to Red Lobster. I want people who love Red Lobster the way I love Red Lobster. And so when I search for VPs of iHeart, I only want to know, what is the last meal you had at Red Lobster? How often do you eat there? Are you a fan of Cheddar Bay biscuits? Once I get those, we'll call them 10 vice presidents in place. They will understand my mission. And they will understand and pass along to the people underneath them. We are a Red Lobster loving company. Do you love Red Lobster? I love Red Lobster. You better love Red Lobster. The result of that isn't that you have one or 10 or 20 positions. Over a long enough period of time, you've filled up the entire building with Red Lobster lovers because you put a Red Lobster loving system in place. That's how you get promoted. So even if you have somebody like Jewish producer Chris who can't even eat at Red Lobster because it's not kosher and it's all shellfish, even he would know he would have to lie if he's trying to get promoted. No, big fan. Love those crab. I heard they have a new seafood boil. Love the lobster over there. Even if he's lying, he understands that's the company line you have to take. That's what Tulsi is saying here, and that is our challenge. It's not that we had to replace the director of this and director of that. We have to replace layers and layers and layers underneath them because of the communist promotional system that's been put into place.
John Brennan and James Clapper, as leaders in the intelligence community, they have their own disciples. They have a lot of their own people that they brought in with them, or that they, mentored in a mirroring of their own image. And many of those people still exist within the intelligence community now. Fundamentally, we are working towards making change, institutional change. And this is a major area of focus for me, institutional change that will undo the infrastructure that people like John Brennan and James Clapper built that allowed these bad actors to thrive and to be promoted into very, very powerful positions within the intelligence community.
What's that look like? Do you remember the framing of those poor idiots in Michigan for the assassination / kidnapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer? Remember, almost everyone involved in that was either an FBI agent or worked for the FBI. The FBI planned, organized, and funded an assassination slash kidnapping attempt of Gretchen Whitmer. They grabbed a few morons. One guy was living in the basement apartment of a vacuum repair company. They grabbed a few morons, wrapped them up in this whole thing, framed them. The worst frame job in the world. That's why some of these guys got off scot-free. Entrapment is what it was. And sent some to prison. They all didn't get out. Sent some to prison. That's about as evil a thing as you can do within the FBI. The FBI made this announcement leading up to the election when the Democrats were trying to frame right-wingers as dangerous extremists. Miraculously, the FBI rolled out a bunch of dangerous extremists. They were working with the Democrat Party. Everyone knows it. Yeah, the guy who was in charge of that got promoted. He got put in charge of the ultra-powerful Washington, D.C. field office. That's what she means by the infrastructure. That's what she means. All right. We have to talk about Major League Baseball. No, it's not going to be a sports show. Believe me, this is going to be about culture and politics, and we'll do emails before we do that. Our first responders give their lives for this country every day, for our communities every single day. It's dangerous to be a cop. It's dangerous to be a fireman. It's not just the fire that might get you now. We have scumbags in this country who will ambush them. Remember those two brave souls in Idaho? Who takes care of those families when the worst thing happens? When the worst knock on the door comes? Tunnel to Towers steps in. Tunnel to Towers steps up and steps in for these families. Cop after cop, fireman after fireman, they have had their families cared for, their mortgages paid off by Tunnel to Towers in the wake of their sacrifice. Help Tunnel to Towers do what they do. They do what they do with your $11 a month. Most people sign up to give it automatically. You never know what's gone. 11 bucks a month to care for widows and orphans. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do a couple of those before we get to baseball. Dear Kamikazologist, I don't think that's a word, Chris. Anyway, I'm glad you love the Kamikaze show. I find it useful to continually point out communist hypocrisy, not to dissuade the communists themselves, but to alert Norm and Norma to their deceptive ways. Thoughts? Love your show. Been a fan for 2 years. Please don't say my name. I will not say your name. Yeah, look, when I complain about the right pointing out the hypocrisy of the left, I am complaining about it when the right thinks it's an effective tactic for stopping them or shaming them or slowing them down. You are correct in that you're relatively uninterested Norm and Norma neighbor, your politically uninvolved friend. They may get something out of it. There's no question about that. And if that's how you look at it, if you look at it as winning converts to our side, I get that completely, but that is not how the right has used it. The right has used hypocrisy. Could you imagine if we did that? They have used that line for my entire 44 years, and it has never slowed down, certainly has never stopped the communists at all. It's never made them miss a beat because hypocrisy is the point. They are correct. They have the one true religion. Everyone else is a heretic, and followers of the one true religion are granted privileges that heretics are not granted. Followers, they get everything. You get access to the works. Heretics, you get burned at the stake. Understand their religious zealots. Great example. Hunter Biden gets a day job helping Ukrainian illegal aliens. Not even making that up. It's a headline from LifeSet. The organization is called BASTA Inc. It's a they call themselves an eviction defense organization. I won't go into the details of it, but you know what this is. It's a sweetheart job. That's what it is. Sweetheart gig. I'm sure he's paid way, way, way more than he's worth. Well, he's not worth anything. So if he got paid a dollar, he'd be paid way more than he's worth. But you get what I'm saying. How? Why? He's a loyal member of the system. A card-carrying member of the system. He is a member of the Communist Party. Therefore, he will never be fully down and out. He will never go broke all the way. There will always be some kind of golden parachute waiting for him because he's a loyal member of the system. You have a bakery and you don't want to make a gay wedding cake? You deserve to have your entire life destroyed and never work again. You probably have to leave town, change your name, because and the communists doesn't see anything wrong with that situation at all. Hey, loyal members of my religion, they should be rewarded. And they do deserve things that the heretics don't deserve. I have no problem with people on the right pointing out hypocrisy if it's in an effort to wake up Norm. Normie Norm. I have no problem with that. But I have watched the right fruitlessly throw that accusation against communist savages forever. And it's like they don't even realize it has never worked for a reason. They don't care. Hypocrisy's the point. That's the whole point of it. You know what? Actually, it's a really good example of this. All this redistricting stuff here. All this redistricting stuff. They're gerrymandering. And then people will point out, well, gerrymandering? Look at a congressional map of Illinois. Look at a congressional map of Maryland. This is what Democrats have been doing for ages. Hey, Mitch Little, this is what Democrats have been
doing.
Why
do this in a census off year when you just redistricted in 2021?
Because we can. We have the votes. It's legal for us to do so. It's legal for us to draw the lines based on political performance. We have three Hispanic predominated districts in South Texas that we believe that we can carve out for Republican leadership in the United States Congress. It's going to be a good thing for Texas. I don't spend any time thinking about what happens in California, or Illinois, or New York. I'm here to protect Texas and ensure that our voices are heard.
That is how it's done. You know what he didn't do? You know what he didn't do? Back off and point out their hypocrisy. That's what he didn't do. No, it's not effective. You have to drill them right between the eyes. Accusations of hypocrisy will not work. Not ever. These people are committed. All the way committed. You have to defeat them.
He just knows how to throw that insult, but it's a common insult when it comes to people of color. He just threw the same exact insult as Charlemagne the God. And so I want people to see him and understand who he is. This is a person that has a problem with people of color, period. I don't care how many black MAGA out there with their hats. I want to be clear, when we look at who it is that he's kicking out of this country as people of color, when we look at who he always disrespects and says that they are low IQ, I've got news for the president. I am not going anywhere. No matter how many squiggly lines they draw in the state of Texas, I will be back and I will be on his behind.
You think you're going to convince that person of something by pointing out her hypocrisy? She doesn't care. The hypocrisy is the point. All right. Now, it's time to talk about women invading men's areas. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I feel like we've offended more people than normal but that's saying something considering our normal show, but remember, you can download, if you'd like to be reoffended, you can download a podcast of the show. It's all free. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So let's go ahead and knock out another big swath of the population and make sure they're as offended as humanly possible. Men, it's okay to say no sometimes to women. You know, you understand that? I promise you won't die. I promise it's not the end of the world. It's okay to say no. It's even, and this goes beyond just women, this is for everybody. It's okay to tell people, no, you don't belong here, and we don't want you here. You understand that? That's not mean, or I guess maybe it is, but there's nothing wrong with that at all. I have two different headlines. Major League Baseball is calling up its first female umpire for the Marlins-Braves game this weekend. Pair that one with, this is from the Boston Red Sox. Tonight, the Red Sox are featuring an all-female crew for a full game of TV broadcast, or they really screwed up the language on this. It's the first all-female broadcast team in history. Why? Why do we have to have women in all these places? Why do we have to have women everywhere in men's sports? Why? You know why? Because Western men find it impossible now to say no. Hey, I'd like to be an umpire in Major League Baseball. No. Why? Because you're a woman. That's why. And we only have men. We've only ever had men. So no. Hey, we'd like to be the first all-female broadcasting team. No. Why? Because you're a woman. There has never been a woman to play Major League Baseball. It's a male-centric thing. Yes, women watch it. Yes, men watch it. But it is a male-centric thing. So no, you can't have the job. And you can't have the job because you're a woman. You don't even have to make up excuses for it. No, this is for men only. You go do something else. But for some reason, and I'll never understand this as long as I live, I don't know what it is. Maybe, honestly, I talk about chalk all the time. Maybe it's purely testosterone. I don't know what it is. Men can't do this. They somehow think that they're going to get thrown in prison, or I guess men are worried about getting yelled at or griped by some nagging harpy if they say no. But I promise, fellas, you're not going to die. She may yell a little bit. She may complain. Undoubtedly, she will. But you can still say no. The answer is no. You can say it. I promise. Repeat after me. No. Hey, I would like to. No. Why? Because you're not welcome. That's why. This is a male-only environment. And it is everywhere right now. Absolutely everywhere. I can't stand it. It's awful. Say no. Please, reach down. Say no. Find your manhood and say no. You're not going to die. You're not going to shrivel up. Okay? There are opportunities for women, more opportunities for women in the United States of America than women have ever had at any point in human history, in any country in human history. That does not mean they have to be freaking everywhere. Golly. And you know what? It's not like I'm campaigning for men to be everywhere. Women should be able to have their thing. Men should be able to have their thing. Go. Do your thing. That's healthy for a society. But because men are weak and pathetic, nobody can say no, and they're everywhere now. Absolutely everywhere that used to be male only. I don't want to hear an all-female broadcast crew when I tune into a Major League Baseball game. It takes away from the experience. Sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Get out. Jesse, thanks for another riveting history segment. Keep bringing them. So the Japanese hated us, and we hated the Japanese. Since we occupied them after the war, how did we go about winning the hearts and minds of citizens who thought we were Godzilla? Also, why do we take such an interest in rebuilding them if we hated them in return? He says his name is Aaron. Okay, so I guess talk a little bit more of that history. How did we go about winning the hearts and minds of citizens? Well, first of all, let's understand the country that we conquered. When we conquered it, they were in bad, bad shape. You know, I have this thing, and I'm probably way too extreme about it, so I'm not telling you to be like me, of course, but I have this thing where if you abandon me when I'm down, when the chips are down and you abandon me, you are my enemy for life. I will never forget it. I will never forgive it. If you cut and run when the chips are down, I will hate you forever. But vice versa. If you are there for me when the chips are down, when it doesn't benefit you, and you are there for me, I will never forget it. And you will be mine for life. The Japanese people, after they were conquered, had their cities laid to waste, millions of their citizens dead. Their economy was in shambles, and something people don't talk about, they were starving. The Japanese government, part of the reason they submitted was they were facing a rebellion. People were starving. The United States of America stepped in with unconditional surrender, and we could have done whatever we wanted there. We could have fired up the old ancient Roman salt mines and put chains around everyone's neck. There was nothing anyone could have done to stop us. We could have done whatever we wanted. We had the total power in our hands. And instead, we handed out food. It's hard to keep people convinced you are Godzilla coming to kill and torture and rape everybody, when every time they see you, you're handing out boxes of food. Let me ask you something. Do you have people you love? Maybe a husband, a wife, kids, parents, sister, brother. Do you have people you love? Could you imagine what it would be like to starve to death with them? I've read a lot of books on that stuff just because it's horrible. Famines have taken place throughout history. People starving to death is just one of the most horrible ways to go. Imagine you're sitting there in your house. Everyone you love is there. Nobody has eaten in a week. Everyone's wasting away and dying, and you know they're dying. And ding dong, someone rings the doorbell. You open up the door, and it's somebody with boxes full of food for you and your family. Whoever that person is, it could be Chris. Do you think you would be grateful to that person? Even Chris. Of course you would be. We showed up. Yes, we conquered them, but we also rebuilt them. No, we are not here to rape and pillage. We will not stand for that. We are here to rebuild and remake Japan into a country that is not as militaristic. We're not trying to take away every part of your culture. No, you don't get to have an emperor anymore. You kind of screwed the pooch on that one. But we're going to give you a different form of government. We will help you rebuild your lands. We will make sure you and your family don't starve to death. And once you are back on your feet, we will leave. And we did. That is how you end up with your closest ally in Asia, which they pretty much are now. We owe that to how wonderful we were after World War II. Feel good about that. Feel good about that. That kind of history stuff, you like it, don't you? That's why I keep telling you about Hillsdale. I enjoy their understanding capitalism class. I do. I want to know that stuff. I want to be as wise as I can be. But I also love history. You know I love it the most. Those are the courses in Hillsdale that I go way nerd on. I don't listen to one. I'll just do the entire course in one night. I can't help it. When you're rolling out a course on Athens, I want to know. Our founders wanted to know. What did they do? Why did they do it? How can we form our government in some way that resembles this? Hillsdale College will help you nerd out on history. Maybe you're an American history person. They have it. Rome, Greece, whatever. They have it for you at no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is how you go learn at no cost. Listen in your car. Listen at home. Listen with your kids. Watch with your kids. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I'm going to play something for you. This is a history teacher. You know, the Incas, most people have heard of the Aztecs and the Mayans. The Incas, they were the tribal peoples, one of the many tribal peoples in South America. Think Peru, that kind of area. The Incas, very, very powerful. Kind of, if I'm being honest, a fascinating civilization. Certainly the way they got messages to each other. It's a very mountainous area. Machu Picchu, I'm sure you probably heard of that. You can go look it up if you haven't. It's all mountains, right? They're a mountain people. And so if you wanted to pass messages from village to village to village, you had to find a quick way to do that. And they would have runners that had various runner stations set up. And it was a prestigious position. You would be handed a piece of rope. We'll get to that in a moment. A rope of some kind. And you would take off running through the hills. You would get to one of the runner stations, hand the rope to the next runner. You would rest and recuperate at the runner station in the mountains. The rope itself, completely fascinating, mainly because we don't understand how it worked. It's a language we know of, but we don't understand how it worked. How do you put a message in a rope? They would tie different kinds of knots that meant different things. And we don't know how they did this. We don't have all the explanations on it. So essentially, you would show up with a rope with a bunch of knots in it. And that would be like sending an email tonight, like sending a text message today. Anyway, that's the Incas. That's a little bit of the Incas. Fascinating people. Like I said, tribal peoples fascinate me. But they were also freaking demonic and horrible and barbaric. Because they killed children. Not just babies. Not that that's okay, but they would kill children. Child sacrifice. The main way they killed children was they would leave them to freeze to death in the mountains. Imagine a child. Grown. I mean, we're not talking a child can speak. Just plop down on a mountainside. Well, sayonara, killing your own child. Obviously, that's horrifically evil, dark. This is a history teacher. I want you to listen to her, and then we're going to talk about this.
If we're just looking at Tawantinsuyu, the Quechua people of the Incan Empire, they practiced sacrifices like most other civilizations throughout history did in times of crisis. So
let me pause for a second. I want to explain something before I play it because it's a little long. Remember, American communist women, period. They have had their motherly nature manipulated by the communists. That's why they're almost always the most evil, the most murderous, the most torturous. Their motherly nature has been twisted. Now they will protect, fight, die, kill for whoever their newest child is, the child they've been introduced to. And they will fight and kill and die and torture you because you are trying to hurt their baby. But it's not a real baby for them. It's whoever the communists decides are their allies. Here in America, the allies of communists are, of course, foreigners and criminals and all the worst, most despicable people, the LGBTQ demon mob and all these people. The American communist woman has been taught that those are her babies. She's been manipulated to believe those are her babies. You white man, you Christians, anyone who loves America, you are the enemy of her babies. You're trying to hurt her babies. And so she will fight on behalf of her babies. I brought that up again because you're about to hear a minute and 30 seconds of exactly what I just talked about.
If we're just looking at Tawantinsuyu, the Quechua people of the Incan Empire, they practiced sacrifices like most other civilizations throughout history did in times of crisis. So famine, natural disasters. But the unique thing about the Quechua is that when you're looking at like the Incan civilization, you essentially have the elites and then you have everyone else. Sacrifices were volunteers from the elite class because they believed that the elites were closer to the gods and could therefore appease them better. Also, in terms of sacrifice, they were kind about it. Hear me out. Because unlike the Mexica, when you're like ripping out a still beating heart out of someone's chest, the Inca would intentionally use coca leaves and would use chicha and would drug up the sacrifice and then leave them on a mountain, a cold, chilly mountain, to be exposed to the elements. Which, if you're a volunteer sacrifice where you're heavily drugged before you die. Also, I mean, I can equate human sacrifice throughout history to so many things. And I think the fact that a lot of people are commenting, oh, but the sacrifice, is again indicative of the fact that you have received a quite white education, because you are knowing them for the bad things that they have done and not all of the wonders that they accomplished. So I hope that this may—
You heard it all there, didn't you? Her babies. The saintly tribal peoples. Oh, sure, they killed a few, but they drugged them first. And they were volunteers. Let's not stress about it. Who are the people trying to hurt her babies? White people. You've had a white view of history. Those are the enemies. Evil. Take the one wonderful motherly nature of a woman and twist it for evil. Let's do some good to wash that off. Let's take care of our dogs. That'll be good. Let's make sure our dogs get actual nutrition, because your dog doesn't. You know that? That brown, dead dog food you give your dog, there is nothing in it. I know what the label says on the front, that is the special, you know, chicken and pickle blend. The chicken and pickles are gone. They cooked it all out of it at the factory, so the dog food didn't go bad. If there was actually chicken in that, it would have gone bad in 2 days. Why did you think the chicken blend lasted for months on the shelf? Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. The number one dog supplement in America, created by a naturopathic doctor so your dog and his dogs can live longer. Roughgreens.com, or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. That's 214-ROUGH-DOG. Just remember to use the discount code Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Howard Stern show set to be canceled after major financial loss. Wow, I guess telling half the country you hate them doesn't pan out. Trump raises India tariffs to 50% over the Russia oil imports. Remember who told you to get some gold? Stanford University to axe 363 jobs over Trump funding cuts. That's a good start. Excessive screen time raises the risk of heart disease. Yeah, breaking news. Sitting around and not moving is bad for your heart. We are out of time. We're going to come back tomorrow and do it again. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.